The issues that matter most, right here. The Drew Mariani Show
on Relevant Radio.
Everywhere you look these days, it feels as though some sinister organization is trying to trick you into eating bugs. It feels like a schoolyard prank we might have pulled in our younger years, but now the government and the globalists, they're the ones pranking us. For example, here's the World Economic Forum. Five reasons why eating insects could reduce climate change.
The Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio.
Yeah, we will talk about that coming up. Father Leo Padalinghug is going to be stopping by. Kashmir called from Nigeria. His connection got dropped. I was just talking to him during the break. I just want to throw something out very, very quickly, if I could, regarding a question that he raised. He asked the question about the Catholic Church and if I got it right, family size. And the Catholic Church teaches that as a married couple, spouses have got to be generous in their openness to children, right? But it also recognizes there might be serious reasons to justify the spacing of those particular births, or in some cases limiting. And this is where it gets confusing. The church teaches that the use of, you know, artificial contraception to prevent the birth of a child, that's not in line with our teachings or really responsible parenthood. But there are other methods that we have. You know, natural family planning can be used to space the births or to limit your family size. The caveat here is that it's got to be motivated by serious reasons and never done out of selfishness. You have to respect the moral law. So I'll give you a quick quote out of the catechism, which might help you. You might say, Drew, I can't be like Patrick and have 11 kids. I can't have five kids. You know, gosh, I could barely feed my one kid right now. According to the catechism of the Catholic Church, it says this, quote, "For just reasons, spouses may wish to space the births of their children. It is their duty to make certain, though, that their desire is not motivated by selfishness, but it is in conformity with the generosity appropriate to responsible parenthood." The Catechism also teaches that the regulation of birth represents one of the aspects of responsible fatherhood and motherhood. Catechism, here's the entries if you want these two catechism quotes, 2368. The other one is 2399. Get a catechism and a Bible. Those are two absolute must books for your house. You know, the absolute, if you said, give me the two books you want, those are two. You can't live without any of those. But bottom line is, we can talk much more about this in the days ahead. But I do want to change gears. As I said, today's show is so packed. And I'm looking forward to talking in just a few minutes with Father Leo Padalinghug. He came out with a brand new book, by the way. You might have seen him before. You know, he's a wonderful holy priest. He's been on EWTN. He's a priest who knows that, you know, he knows how to cook, right? Real food. And that's kind of his ministry. And he's a priest of a community of consecrated life called Voluntas Dei. And he's the founder of, I think he's also the host and the director of Plating Grace. It's an international apostolate to help strengthen families and their relationship through God's gift of family meal. I think the family meal is under attack today, right? How many people eat in front of the TV? How many people don't eat together as a family? You can check him out at platinggrace.com. That's his website. He wrote a new book called Dining with the Saints, which he co-authored with a guy named Michael Foley. So you can check that out. But before I get to him, let me just tell you what's going on and the reason I decided to bring him on. I want to tell you about these bugs. Would you eat a bug, first of all? Maggie, have you ever eaten a bug? Would you ever eat a bug, perhaps, is a better question.
Oh, my gosh.
Nice creepy crawler.
Oh, you know what? The only way I would ever eat a bug is if it were, like, fried and covered in something. I've seen people eat the raw bugs, and, like, if it's wriggling, oh.
Yeah. No. What was that show Joe Rogan used to be in before he...
Fear Factor.
Fear Factor. They would do that all the time. You had to eat, like, live bugs.
But I've seen, like, all...
I remember once they had a spider. Like, it was some sort of cave spider.
No.
And the person put it in his mouth, and it bit them while it was trying to bite this live spider. It was nasty.
Ew.
Now, I've eaten crickets that have been fried. They were pretty good. A little chili and lime sauce on them. But that was, like, down in Mexico, but...
All of these celebrities that are making these videos now, I've seen the Nicole Kidman one where she's like, ways you can eat bugs. And she's going through like a 7-course meal of eating bugs. And
sure, she's doing that.
She looks nauseated.
Yeah, it's all part of their agenda. Here's the bigger picture thing here. And we'll get Father Leo on. President Biden's in Europe right now, right? I am not sure what's going to be on the menu. I doubt he's going to be eating crickets, right? He's not going to be eating grasshoppers or spiders or anything else. Last month, though, the European Food Safety Authority issued a scientific opinion after a, it was a long study. It was a three-year study. And they found grounds to establish, well, the house of cricket powder. They come up, they've established that bugs can be used in the food. And they can now put it on market. They're going to be putting it in things like all your multi-grain roll and your cereal bars and your biscuits and your sauces, even coffee. Chocolate confections. So if that ever happened in the U.S., you got to be careful when you're reading the label because it may not be crickets. It might be a Latin name instead. I think it's called a Cheta powder or a Cheta powder. A-C-H-E-T-A, I think is what they called it. But look, this is all part of what people are calling the Great Food Reset. It is something that the World Economic Forum has been pushing because they want people to eat less meat. Why? Because of the emissions. What emissions? Yes, a cow's emission, if you will, right? His flatulence. That's ruining the environment. So they think, hey, hold on. Those methane emissions, especially from cows, it's too much carbon emission. It's crazy, right? Just crazy. A lot of this is being driven by Bill Gates. Gates, wants what he considers scientific solutions applied to providing food for the hungry. And that's a noble cause, right? He funded something called the Impossible Burger. Have you ever had that? I had it. It's a soy-based burger. Unfortunately, it's made with genetically engineered yeast. I know some people don't want any GMOs. But thanks be to God. I don't know how far down he's gotten down the road. Patrick just said to me they taste good. He likes them. So not bad. Real food taken from the soil, raised in God's sunshine and on the meadows. You just got to think that's got to be better for your body, right? And again, I'm not a scientist. I want to talk to Father Leo about this. In fact, let me bring him into the conversation. Father Leo joins me right now. I want to get his take on this. We'll also talk a little bit about his new book. Father, I'm delighted to have you back. Good afternoon.
Thanks, Drew. Appreciate it. It's good to be back.
So, I don't know how you feel about bugs. I don't know whether you cook with them or not. Give me your take on that. I remember when I was in Africa, a bunch of villagers came up to me once and had a bag full of these live grasshoppers that they caught, and they wanted me to have them. It depends on where you are in the world. The cuisine can be very different from eating monkey brain to our country where a big slab of meat is great. But your thoughts on how this all plays out and what we're seeing?
Well, we should always look at food as a gift from God, and therefore it's a responsibility to eat sensibly, to eat locally, to make sure that we're not putting things into our system that really don't belong. So in a culture that eats bugs, that's what they do, and they should celebrate that. But if it is being pushed on us because they feel like if you force feed it, it makes it right, it makes it good, it makes you woke, then it really is just them kind of shoving lies down our throat, and it doesn't even taste good. It's funny that there's a group of people that like the plant-based burgers, but I like my vegetables and I like my plants to taste like plants and vegetables. I don't want it to taste like meat. And in the same way, I would think it's very strange if my hamburger tasted like a bell pepper. So I think what we've got to do is return to a more natural, respectful, non-force-feeding way of eating, respecting the times and the seasons, and making sure that this forced agenda isn't simply as a way to control population in their mind and also the population in terms of numbers. I do think that there is certainly an agenda afoot that is forcing people to control what you eat because it controls who you are.
Yeah, unpack that. I think that's a really great insight on your part. And then we'll take a few calls. If you want to join Father Leo, the number in the studio is 888-914-9149. How do you see that agenda playing out? We have all these celebrities and Hollywood elites now pushing for the consumption of bugs. We've got Gates. We have this green deal right now where everyone's concerned about the climate change to the point of real compromise on a lot of different levels. But your thoughts, I'd love to hear your theory or what you're seeing or how you're reading these signs.
Well, it really all depends on which sector you're speaking to, because there are chefs who are just very into kind of the woke mentality, and there are chefs who just want to cook food that tastes good and are reminiscent of happy memories. The idea of these genetically modified foods to substitute meat, they do this because they say it will help our climate. But what they're really trying to do is just control you. I mean, we've had animals, we've had dinosaurs running around this planet, and you know, they didn't destroy the world. So it's a reminder for us that once people get powerful, they want even more power. And the most powerful person is the one who feeds you. And who is that? That is God. God is the one who feeds us. He provides the fruit of the earth and the work of human hands. And when we think, and when humans think, that they are the producer of things, they in a sense are playing God. And I definitely see that amongst world leaders who think that they have every answer to every problem, but I guarantee you they did not have a cricket sushi roll. I guarantee you they did not have a replacement of foie gras or truffles. They are eating high and mighty, and they want everyone else to eat like the poor peasant local. And again, poor peasant local food, it's delicious, but you can't force it on everybody to eat.
Yeah, one of my producers was saying to me that they heard of a study about investigations into insect farms. So they're going to have these huge farms where they raise these bugs. And they said at least 30% of those bugs had parasites that could infect humans and animals, so, or infest them as well, I guess, if they're parasites. So it's kind of a scary thought.
We do know that. I mean, we are eating things that we probably aren't aware of, even in our own produce. It's not going to kill us. Mm-hmm. But again, it's this forced mandate, this forced agenda, this forced kind of reasoning that says, I know better than you. Eat this, and you're going to save the planet. Eat this and you're going to be a more moral, upright person. They want us to kill a bug and eat a bug, and they don't want a baby to live. So you see, there's this real crazy, I guess I would call it, you know, some would call it a conspiracy theory. I'm just going to call it a theory that it's really a desire to control the population's mind, the way we think, and to control the numbers of people on the planet. It's been happening for years.
I totally agree with you, and I'm glad to hear you say that. I mean, it's good to hear another sane voice like that make a strong case. Kevin is in Sheboygan Falls, Wisconsin. He's got a comment for you, Father. Hi, Kevin.
Hey, Drew. I just want to say thanks to Father Leo for his wonderful ministry with how he's supporting that man as you with those great recipes. And if he ever came up with a recipe for free-range grasshopper shanks, I'd eat it in a heartbeat because all his recipes are top-notch, and everything you've been saying is I totally agree.
That's well said.
Thank you. I appreciate it. That Man Is You is a great organization. I was featured on a few of their videos, and I was talking about how it's a father's responsibility, a man's responsibility to provide for his family. And it really goes to the study of why I do what I do. You know, if a father is present, the family is healthier. If a father is feeding his children faith, the studies show that there is a greater chance the children will practice their faith. And so I'm glad that he's participating in That Man Is You. But I guarantee you, I probably won't be using too many bugs in my cuisine just because, let's just put it this way, I don't know where to buy it, and I'm not actually looking.
There you go. Well, you can join us, too. If you want to get in, it's 888-914-9149. Let's go to Miami, Florida for you, Father. Joe is listening there. Hi, Joe. You're on the air with Father Leo.
Hey, thanks for chiming me in. You know, I think Bill Gates is reading the Bible, and he got the idea from locusts and honey with John, maybe. You know that,
sure.
That diet. No, but you made a comment about the emissions, the cow emissions. And, you know, it was funny. I saw the first sign of it when Burger King started going with that veggie burger.
Yeah.
And I said, man, that's weird. But then I heard that the aquifer, the water below what, you know, we see rivers and lakes and all that.
Right.
That's been dropping radically. And, as a cause of that, the grain and the water to feed these cows, it's just, it's overwhelming. The meat should be more expensive. But anyway, I gained from it because I hardly ever eat steak because it's so expensive. Mm-hmm. But they've gone to early slaughter last year. So the meat prices dropped. Yeah, so
well, Joe, thank you.
Definitely there's something going on. Yeah.
I appreciate it. Father, I'll let you respond as well.
Yeah, the production of animals, it is determined on the desirability of the consumer. And so what we need to do is we need to return to a more balanced diet. Definitely red meat and protein, that is actually clinically studiable as good for you, but always in moderation. There's got to be a healthy balance. I just think that there is imbalance in the consumer's palate. And so it's so funny that that nature has, again, it's corrected itself to a degree. But at the same time, we have a responsibility to care for the earth. My problem is that those who are making mandates and dictations and really implementing laws, they've actually done very little themselves to actually clean up the planet. So we'll have a teenager lecturing us on making sure that the world is improved in its climate, but I've never actually seen her do anything. Yet there was a young other teenager, his name is Boyer Slott, who you'll never hear about, but he was a European teenager who created a machine to clean up the ocean from dirt and debris and pollution. But we never hear about him. We only hear about another teenager who moralizes. So all of these things have to be taken in an appropriate measure. But when people start dictating, I always ask them, what are you doing? Because it just comes across as hypocrisy, and it's do as I say and not as I do. And therefore, I get very suspicious of their motives.
Yeah. My guest today, Father Leo Padalinghung, he wrote a new book, too. I want to talk a little bit about that. And you can get in with us. It's called Dining with the Saints. It's one of a number of books that he's put together. And we're talking about the great food reset that is now underway. This push for insect farms and incorporating that into your food, along with a whole lot of other things. A little bit earlier, just to diverge for a moment, somebody had talked about, you know, having dinner together and actually having grace before meals. I want to touch on that because this is one of those things. You're talking about meals in general and what we consume. There have been a lot of studies conducted on the benefits of eating together as a family. And so often it's not done. The TV's on, or the father's working late, or the kids are at practice and the family just doesn't eat together, or cell phones are there as well. But, you know, studies, as you, I'm sure, know, show better, you know, academic performance. There's less or reduced risk of substance abuse. There's improved social skills, a whole litany of these other things. This is your area. And I know you're right about dining with the saints as well as cooking with them. I'd love your take on family dining because this might be new to a lot of people, Father, and they may not recognize how important it is to actually say, hey, hang on a second, TV off. We're all having dinner together tonight.
Yeah, I would actually clarify the word as not important, but necessary. Wow. It is it's the primordial place where families act as families. It's a place where parents serve their children and children learn how to serve each other by the example of the parents. It's a place where the parents can, in a sense, monitor what the children are putting into their system. It's a place where families can be present to each other. It is supposed to mimic what we do at the Lord's table, the altar of the Lord at Mass, which is known as the universal church. We are known as the domestic church. And so I always try to remind families that family meals aren't important. They are absolutely necessary for the health of the individuals of the family and for the healthiness of the family's integrity, like keeping a family all together. So you cited CASA, the Center of Addictions and Substance Abuse, right, at Columbia University. Right. It's just common sense. We just have to do it.
It's true. It is common sense, right? Increased, improved communication. So often there's better nutrition. The meals are better. You know, you got less stress. One of the things I am really concerned about is the mental health of our country. And the other byproduct, one of the things they found in those studies was that eating together can have mental health benefits. Maybe you've got somebody who's suffering depression or anxiety. Studies have shown it has reduced that and can actually provide a sense of, I don't know, social support and belonging. And an overall sense of well-being. So let's grab another call or two, Father, then I have to take a short break. But Rosemary is in Arlington Heights, Illinois. Rosemary, welcome.
Well, thank you. When I first was teaching, I taught under Rosemary Kish Crezon. Maybe some of the kids are still there because the school that I was at, it was John F. Kennedy on the east side. And what I did in one of the biology classes they had at the May Company, I could, you know, they had a little gourmet section, and I brought in some fried ants and chocolate-covered caterpillars and things of that nature. And the boys went crazy in the class because they wanted to frighten the girls. And it was fun because they just it was like chewing on a coconut, like a coconut bar or something like that. So that was really fun. And then I know there's, you know, recipes for doing quiche with worms. So you clean out the worms. Yeah, and
there you go. That sounds horrible, personally, Rosemary. But, you know, again, it's all cultural. Rosemary, thank you for your comments. I ate those crickets. Like I said, they were good with a little lime juice and some chili pepper. I was with a friend one time, and her dad took her to, I think it was Malaysia, Father. It was somewhere out in the Pacific somewhere. I forget where she was. And he was a world traveler. He took these kids around the world, wanted to cultivate them. And they had this wonderful meal. They were driving back and the kids were talking about how great the meal was. And the father says, well, do you know what you had tonight as your main course? Like, no, what was it? What was it? It was monkey brain. Literally. They ate the brains of a monkey. But, you know, if I would throw up after hearing that. But you know, I guess different cultures have different foods. You get used to them. Like, I'm not a big fan of cow brains. I mean, if you eat those as well, I mean, what are they called? Sweetbreads?
Sweetbreads. They're delicious in France. They're great. And when you know how to prepare it, again, it's all about being able to eat what is local and respecting their traditions.
That's true.
You know, again, in some countries, they eat rat. I would like to see Bill Gates eat a rat. If he really wants to be woke, it'll solve two problems.
That's so true. Well, stay with me, Padre. I want to take a short break. When we come back, grab a pen and paper too. I want to get you plugged into Father's book. Just came out with this. This is great. I had Cooking with the Saints. I'll tell you what my wife had to say about your book too, because I got it a couple weeks ago. His latest book is called Dining with the Saints. He co-authored it with Michael Foley. Check him out at platinggrace.com. And you can learn a lot more about Father Leo Padalinga. Hug there. I'm going to take a short pause. Our conversation will continue. Stay with me.
Catholic Order of Foresters, the sponsor of our studio line, is hiring today with several positions throughout the U.S. Visit relevantradio.com/forester to learn more about how you can find your vocation with COF, an Illinois Life Insurance Society, not licensed in all states.
Well, thanks for joining me. It's good to be with you. We're talking about the great food reset, insect farms, and weird food. I've invited today Father Leo Padalinghug to stop by and join us. He actually came out with a book. I want to talk about that, too. Before I do, though, I just found out something about Father Leo, and I didn't realize this. Maggie and I were talking during the break, and apparently he had a huge social media following. People loved him. And he got banned for talking up against wokeness. Hey, Father, fill me in on your story. Did you get banned for speaking out? What happened with the social media elites? They didn't like what you had to say?
Yeah, it was Twitter. Twitter,
oh, wow.
Of course, is just a mess of a show. It's just such a disaster. And I don't even know why we got banned, to be perfectly honest with you, because nothing we said or did violated any guidelines whatsoever. It's just, I think there are people who reported us as a fake account.
Oh, wow.
And just to do anything they could to get rid of us. And so we were permanently banned. But we have grown on Instagram and on we're doing more on my immediate social media outlets. And so people could always go to platongrace.com. They can see all the social media that we are doing. And we are going to be making our way back onto Twitter with just a new handle. And it's going to be called Father Leo Official. And so it'll be hopefully not banned. But well, I can say that Twitter has been terrible for the world, especially since people don't know how to discern what is true and what's not true.
Yeah.
And so the idea of being able to speak your mind, you know, I've always wanted to be respectful. I was never in any way, you know, using any vulgar language or anything like that. It's just that I have no trouble challenging the narratives that are truly built on lies. And if we as a church do not call it out, then we are almost letting it slide as true. And they are not true. They are insidious. They are evil. And we've got to speak out as a church.
Yeah, no kidding. It's well said. You know, Twitter's changed now that Elon Musk has taken it over. I wonder if they're going to reinstate your account. It'd be good because you probably had a pretty big following. We'll see. That's fascinating. Hey, your new book. Let's talk about that. I'll take a few calls too. If you want to join us, feel free to dial in. You know, you've written several of them. This book came just recently, and I brought it home from work because my wife's a great cook as well, and she was looking through it, and she actually loved the way that you formatted Dining with the Saints, because it brings that Catholic liturgical year to life. And I know you pair something like 200 saints stories with these, with really what's an interesting s'mores, you know, just a plethora of international recipes. I mean, it was really well done. And she said she really liked the way you formatted the book with the stories and then those recipes as well. For those who don't know, they're looking for something that they can learn the faith on, be inspired by, at the same time, get some great recipes. Fill everyone in on your book if you could.
Yeah, so I co-authored this with Michael Foley, who is the author of Drinking with the Saints, which was just a smash hit. It was so fun. He's an incredibly talented writer and patristics researcher. So we combined forces because Regnery was looking to do a follow-up, and they wanted to have something really authentic about the cuisine. Because before there were drinks, there were actually just food to celebrate saints. Eat this to remember Saint so-and-so. And so it took about a year and a half, 2 years of researching and recipe testing and also trying to reinterpret historical recipes for kind of modern application. So there is a tongue-in-cheek component to it. We do represent the piety of the saints, but not just piety. We represent their practicality. We show their personality. They were funny. Some of them were just really filled with a goodness and a humanity and a boldness. So we wanted to capture all of that, bringing in recipes that were either historically related to them or created to remember their life.
It's called, actually, I guess the full title is Dining with the Saints, A Sinner's Guide to a Righteous Feast, right? Am I correct on that?
Yeah, correct. It's a pretty awesome title, to be honest with you. I love it.
It's a great book. Maggie was just saying to me, man, that sounds great. Maggie, I'll have to bring the book in. You'll have to check it out. It's really, it's well done. You know what I love about these types of books, too? And here's something I'm always curious to ask an author about. Of all the research you do, what is the most interesting story or saint or aspect of the book did you find? I think about it, I wrote a book on divine mercy recently. I was asking myself that question. What was the one takeaway that I had that was really something that I had learned that I didn't know before? But in terms of this particular book, what was it that you said, wow, this is great?
Well, I reflected on the fact that Jesus, when he said, eat this to remember me, that there was a connection to him because we could taste and see the goodness of the Lord. And because saints are, in a way, a real extension to the body of Christ, the cult of saints, the people who honored the saints, they wanted to do the same. And it just made me think, when I die, is there something going to be cooked to remember me? I mean, we do that with our grandmother's apple pie recipe, you know, and my mom's cooking. She's got so many amazing things. I am going to cook these things to remember her. What are they going to cook to remember us?
Yeah, that's really, really well said. My guest is Father Leo Padalingo. Let me grab a quick call or two. I know we have a few minutes left. Arceli in San Jose, California. You're on the air with Father Padalingo. Go right ahead.
Hello. I just wanted to say I was so excited when I heard about that fake food that I'm not the only one. I've spoken with other people, and I just try to explain, and they're just looking at me with a blank face. And these are very well-educated people that I've had conversations with. Can you not see? Can you not? Yeah. They said, no, but the animals are coughing. I'm like, oh, my goodness.
Well, thank you.
I'm just excited.
Arceli, what's the strangest food you've ever eaten?
The strangest food I've had, cow brains.
Oh, wow. Okay. So sweetbreads.
Cow brains, deep fried tacos.
Did you like them?
Oh, they were delicious, but I haven't had them since after I found out where they were from. They came from.
Some people don't like Colorado oysters if they know what they are. And there's some weird
Rocky Mountain oysters.
That's what it is. It's Rocky Mountain oysters, right?
Yeah, those are actually not the best flavor profile. I mean, it actually doesn't have a flavor to it. It's pretty bland as an organ meat, but it's texturally very difficult to kind of get your mind wrapped around. Its texture is pretty bad. But she mentioned that there's a lot of people who aren't paying attention. They might be educated, but they're not thinking. And I think we are approaching a time in our educational, even just the study of ontology, where people are getting high degrees, but they have zero critical thinking skills. And this actually relates to food. We have to discern what we are feeding our minds because it will funnel down into our heart and into our souls.
That is so, so true. Father, you know, one of the things that I always think about, and it's so true. We talked about dining together. We talked about feeding our minds. We talked about strange foods. In terms of the saints, I want to get back to your book for a second. How does dining with the saints actually speak to contemporary food and dining trends? I mean, anyone who eats out a lot, there's always these different trends that are underway right now. There's also this issue of sustainability and ethical eating and dietary restrictions. You know, we live in a very different time than maybe when you grew up or when I grew up. You've got all these other issues that we've got to address. How do you balance all that?
Well, it's a reminder that what you eat is important, but how you eat with whom you eat are equally important. And so this book is trying to evoke a more intentional understanding that food is holy and that the people you eat with are called to be holy and you are called to be holy. And so this idea of dining with the saints, it's inviting people to make the saints a part of their dining experience, because when you do, then you can be inspired by them and you can do the things that they did. They fed the hungry, they clothed the naked, they did all the things that social justice warriors say that they want to do, but they don't do it at all. They just burn down buildings. And so eating the right food is one thing. Eating with the right people and with the right mindset, that's what dining with the saints is trying to help you do.
And you encourage people, right, to incorporate some of these elements into their own, I guess, their own feasts, their own gatherings?
Absolutely. You know, the beauty about the Catholic Church, while we are approaching a season of penance, we have to remember that there are more feast days than fast days.
So true.
We are a church that celebrates, that while I'm grateful people are going to practice their faith in the Lenten season, I say you should also celebrate your faith in the Lenten season. And the book actually has temporal feast days and recipes to help us to do that. So there are some Lenten recipes as well as some really delicious Easter recipes.
Yeah, my guest, Father Leo Padalingo. If you want the book, by the way, and I know Maggie was asking me about it again, it's called Dining with the Saints. And Father, I'm assuming it's available at all major bookstores or Catholic bookstores, or what's the best way to get it?
Absolutely. So it's not coming out until the 28th of February, but you can actually get a copy in a pre-release just by going to platinggrace.com. That's my website where they can also look at all of the books and the resources that I have, but you can get it anywhere. And we are so excited for this book because it's been a lot of years in the making. But more importantly, we think it's going to have a good effect on people.
Well, you're making me hungry. I was reading a little bit, you know, you're craving a breakfast treat. You say, join St. Benedict and learn to craft Eggs Benedict with basil and hollandaise in March.
Correct.
Searching for a spicy dinner feast. What are some of the feasts that we have here? I know you talk about St. Catherine of Siena, you know, some of the great saints, St. Maria Goretti. Of course, she's a good Italian, right? You got to have some good tiramisu with her. But walk us through a few of the examples.
Well, we've got saints that are truly international. So, for example, we have one dedicated to St. Damian Molokai. And what's interesting is that, you know, he lived in Hawaii. He died in Hawaii. And so we do a Kalua pork, but if you can't find banana leaves, we're going to go back to his country and use cabbage leaves. And so the idea of some fusion foods are there. And, you know, again, here's a tongue-in-cheek recipe. So Saint Agatha was martyred, and her martyrdom was to destroy her figure. She was a beautiful woman, and so they cut off her breasts, and the people who had a devotion to her decided to make a cake shaped as bosoms. And it wasn't in any way to be immoral. It was a way to remember how she died. Right. So you've got some really funny, but also some very human ways to remember saints from all over the world.
Yeah, well, I am grateful for your writing, Father. Keep at it. I know you've had a number of other books, and you got a beautiful ministry, and I love your message. I think it's so important that we realize that God is the giver of all things, of life and of food. You know, I think as an Italian, I find a lot of joy in a good meal, and I'm grateful for you and for all that you're doing. So look forward to catching up with you again, okay?
Thank you, and God bless you all.
We'll talk soon. And Father's book is soon to be out, okay? So you can check it out, and he's got a number of them. You go to his website and check out his other ones as well. But this one, I got the pre-release, and as I said, my wife did really enjoy it. She was reading through some of the stories on Dining with the Saints, and thought, wow, this is an interesting layout. So I thought, let me get Father on. It might bless you, might benefit you as well. If you want to check it out, go ahead and do that. I've got to take a short pause from eating bugs to Dining with the Saints. I'm telling you, you never know what you're going to get here on the Drew Mariani Show. It's always a mixed bag, that's for sure. I can tell you something that I'm well aware of and you won't be disappointed in, and that's Lenten lessons on the Mass. Father Rocky did these last year. We've come out now with kind of a revised edition, and I think you will love these. You can elevate your Lent this year. They're 2 minutes. And Father Rocky did a phenomenal job on these Lenten lessons on the Mass. Bite-sized videos. Last year he had 1 million viewers. I'm sure we're going to have twice that this year. And do relevant a favor. Share them with others. You know, as you go to Mass, it'll open your eyes. You'll come to learn what is there, what's on the altar, you know, what the priest does, what he says. It sometimes looks secret. I mean, it unlocks the secret of a Mass. Lenten lessons on the Mass, packed with all sorts of interesting facts. It'll help you learn much more about the Mass and your faith. How do you get it? Here's how you get it, right? Just sign up for Father Rocky's Lenten lessons on the Mass at relevantradio.com/Lent. Everything can be found at relevantradio.com, right? Relevantradio.com/Lent. Relevantradio.com/Lent. It is a great website, from articles to podcasts to all sorts of really great stuff there. So, one final note. Can't forget this one. No cost. We're not asking for any money. No, nothing. They're absolutely free. So, Father, as often said, and I do agree with him, you know, the faith has been freely given, and I think we should freely give it as well. So, that's why I gave that Divine Mercy book away. All right. Hey, look, it's about 15 minutes before the top of the hour. Short pause. When I come back, you know, Jimmy Carter's approaching death. 98 years of age. I want to share with you what he said. I don't know if you heard what he said about God. And I also want to talk about our country. I mean, we've really rejected God today as a nation. We've really betrayed him. And yet if you go from George Washington to Joe Biden, many of our presidents on this President's Day, I was reflecting on it, had a deep love for God and the faith. I'll share some interesting insights, I hope, for you when I return.
The Drew Mariani Show.
Hi, Drew. Thank you. Thank you for your show.
This is the Drew Mariani Show.
Marvelous show on the radio right now.
On Relevant Radio.
Catholic Order of Foresters, the sponsor of our studio line, is hiring today with several positions throughout the U.S. Visit relevantradio.com/forester to learn more about how you can find your vocation with COF, an Illinois Life Insurance Society, not licensed in all states.
The Drew Mariani Show is on Relevant Radio.
Yeah, having fun with you. I love hanging out with you. I do. It is. Thanks for allowing me to be part of your afternoon. I mean, it's fun. Hey, if you enjoy what you hear here, do me a favor. Tell somebody else about it. Get them plugged in. Let's expand our friend group, our family, so to speak. And if you want to share something you heard, you said, oh my gosh, that was so great. I got to let so-and-so hear about that, whether it's finance or politics or bugs or recipes or whatever. Whatever it is we might be talking about, you can go to our podcast. Maggie normally gets today's broadcast up about an hour after we're off, a little behind the scenes. When we get done, Maggie and I cut our promo for the next day. You'll hear that in rotation. And then Maggie's got to cut up a lot of the audio and gets busy getting it up into cyberspace so you can download it and listen to it. And you can get my podcast anywhere podcasts are found. At least I believe so. I know there are, you know, if you are on Spotify or Apple iTunes or Relevant Radio is a great place to get it. We see a lot of people getting it there too. So just do a search for the name and you'll find it broken down, I think, in three different hours. And Maggie she gives it a description of what the shows are all about. So Maggie and I were talking during the break. I don't know if you were with me earlier today. About an hour ago, I asked for prayer, hour and a half ago. I had lost my wallet yesterday. My wife and I were out. I stopped at a gas station on the way to Mass, right? Actually, it was kind of far from where I was going to Mass. And I got out to get gas. And when I was there, I said, you know what? Let me run in. I want to play the lottery. I would love it. I mean, I would still continue to work. I've always said if I won the lottery, I'm not going anywhere, right? I'm still going to be here. It'll be great. But boy, I could do a lot of good with it. And it would be fantastic. I had a friend who won the Powerball lottery in Mexico. He's broke today because he gave all his money away. And he did wonderful things to spread devotion and divine mercy and so many other things. And if God chooses to bless me that way, it'd be fantastic. But anyway, you're kind of playing the dream. The odds of winning, I have a better chance of getting killed by a vending machine than I do winning the lottery. So it's really like throwing your money away. So I only buy one ticket. So I didn't have any cash with me. I always tell you, I never have any cash. I go up to the ATM that's in this gas station, this Quick Trip or whatever it was. And I put my ATM code in, I get my cash, and I go up to buy my my lottery ticket and off to Mass. My wife and I go, we get there, and all of a sudden they're getting ready for the collection, right? And I'm thinking, my hands in my pocket, oh my gosh, where's my wallet? I don't have my wallet, right? So instantly I'm thinking, should I leave? I don't want somebody to steal it and start using the credit cards. But I figured, I'm just going to stay there and pray. I'm not going to do anything. I'm going to stay here and pray. It's in the Lord's hands. I don't understand it. It's a major inconvenience. But you know what? I'm going to finish Mass. And I did. And I drove all the way back to where this gas station was, like 20 minutes away. And no, they didn't see it. I looked by the ATM. It wasn't there. They spoke to the girl. It's not it. Well, I called them later that night and asked them to check the safe. It wasn't there. I called them this morning. I, went back and looked. I called the church. They looked. I went back to the church. I looked under the pews. So it's gone. So I was just saying, hey, say a prayer for me. I put a freeze on almost all the cards. I actually ran out of time before I went on the air. So I hope the bank's closed. I don't know. I don't know. I got to do that the second I get off the air here. But if you'd say a prayer, I shared the story of my daughter who lost her her ID when she was in the military and she had to catch a flight. Otherwise, she was going to be in major, major trouble. She called me here in the States. She was over in Okinawa, Japan at the time. And says, Dad, I don't know what I'm going to do. And she stripped her room and she did everything, could not find it. Well, we prayed the chaplet. And while we were praying that chaplet, something came to her to look once again and lift up her mattress. And stuck between the mattress and the metal frame, in between the metal frame, it would be invisible for anybody to find. The ID somehow got stuck between these metal frame connectors. And she just caught a glimmer of it. And there she found it and was able to make that flight in time. She was the canine unit. She had to get her dog there. It was wild. So God answers prayers. And I've always said that. I don't know what God's will is. Maybe I'm meant to suffer a little bit, be irritated, offer it up. I will. But we had a call during the chapel too. Maggie, why don't you share what happened?
Well, Cindy wrote to us on Twitter. She goes, I am missing my work ID badge. I need it. Please pray that I find it. And so it's just a couple hours later, she tweeted us at 4:12 p.m. Central Time. And she said, I just found my work ID badge. Praying also that your wallet shows up, Drew.
Thank you, Sydney.
Praise Jesus.
That's your prayer works. I'm telling you, I believe it. And sometimes there's a reason for something. I said that to my wife. I thought, well, you know, maybe I have to go back for some reason, or maybe I just got to offer this up. I mean, I don't know.
You know, I don't know if you ever heard this story, Drew. I had heard once that a pair of thieves stole Mr. Rogers' car once. Stole it right from out of his driveway. It showed back up in his driveway about 3 days later with a note from the thieves on the windshield that said, "Mr. Rogers, we're so sorry. We didn't realize this was your car."
They just had to look at my ID and say,
"Please forgive us." Yeah, I wonder if they're going to be like, "Mr. Mariani, we were thinking about stealing this, but we would like to bring this back to you."
Here's the other problem. My license is what makes it even harder, right? My ID, when you move to a new state, and my wife and I recently moved just to get a new license, right? And Kathy and I have been saying, "We got to get our license. We have to get our license." If I'm driving around, my license is good for another year or two in this other state. So my house is sold, right? I live in another state.
Oh, no.
So if the person says, you know what, because some people might say, "Oh, I'm not going to hand this in at the counter. They might use this guy's credit cards." I'm going to do the good thing. I'm going to be a good Samaritan. I'm going to mail his wallet back to him. Because my wallet, my wallet's only this little brown credit card holder. You know, I have like four or five credit cards, a license, you know, my medical card or whatever it is in there, right? And that's it. Just have this. So it's not a giant wallet. It's just a simple little thing. And my license is from a totally different state. So,
Drew.
What?
No, that.
So if they mailed somebody else, the person who bought my other home, you know, they're going to have it. Possibly.
Do you know them?
Not really.
Okay.
You know how those realtors are. I mean, somebody buys your house, you know. But, you know, we'll work it out. If you want to join me, I only got a few moments. Love to hear from you. The number is 888-914-9149. Oh, I love this suggestion. All right. Do you have a suggestion for me? I'll throw this out quickly. Do you have a suggestion for me regarding who I should pray for, or you know, maybe how to find it? One off-air caller, and Patrick A. Lug, thank you for passing us along, says, "Drew, you should pray to the Holy Souls to find it. And if you do, promise there will be a mass for the Holy Souls." Well, that's a good deal. That's a win-win for me. I'll use some of the cash I took out of the ATM. I love it. Somebody else said that they had an overwhelming sense that it stuck between my seat in the car. I checked my car 3 times. I checked everywhere. I went under it. I had a flashlight, and I didn't see it because, you know, that does happen. Sometimes it slips out of your pocket, gets caught between the seat. I pushed it up, pushed it back. But you know what? I'll push it back. I'll do it again. Maybe it'll show up again. I did check my clothes. Maggie was asking. Said, I don't know. It's so weird because, you know, that night I went home and I went online. I looked. Nobody was using it. I thought, well, maybe they're going to go online and use it. Nobody used it. So the other thing somebody once said to me is call upon, you know, the holy innocents, those children who've lost their lives. Could be a good one. All right, let me sneak a quick call and we'll go to Bryn Mawr, Pennsylvania. Hey, Kathy, good afternoon.
Hi, Drew. How are you?
Hey, I'm well.
I'm good.
Thanks.
It just occurred to me, I lost my wallet once, and it was found in a trash can in the men's room. So
how did it happen in the men's room?
Well, I was at work.
Okay.
And the person who stole, you know, I had my pocketbook was out in the open there. And so I wondered if you checked the trash can at the gas station.
That's a great idea. You know, now there's probably a ton of trash. It's a day later. Who knows? It could even be empty. Yeah. But that's a good suggestion. That's actually a great suggestion. Somebody might take it. Because I didn't have any cash in it. It was just credit card holder. You know what I mean?
But still, sometimes it's just easy to throw it in there and get rid of it.
Oh, yeah. And that's a great suggestion, Kathy. No, I appreciate that. Thank you very much for calling. Say a prayer for me, okay?
I'm praying for you, too. Thank you, Drew.
Thanks, Kathy. Bye-bye. Good to hear from you. All right. That's great. Great stuff. You know, and we can talk a little bit more here. I do want to, today is President's Day, it's George Washington's birthday, and we remembered Abraham Lincoln a little bit earlier today. I just wanted to reflect on our founding presidents and our presidents just for a moment or two, too, because Jimmy Carter is close to death. Do we have time to play Jimmy's audio or we don't, Maggie? You know, throughout the history of our country, you know, faith has played such a significant role in the lives of a lot of our presidents, from George Washington to Joe Biden. And presidents, as we all do, sometimes turn to faith in times of difficulty, right? For strength, for inspiration. Lincoln's such a classic example. You know, Washington and Lincoln both called us to prayer and to fasting. And Jimmy Carter, you can go through the litany of them, Franklin D. Roosevelt, Lincoln, so many of these men professed a belief in God. And let's pray for our president today. It's kind of my message to you. Let's pray for our president. He professes to be Catholic. You know, they've given a noble responsibility to lead and head up the executive branch. Let's pray for wisdom and for health. All right. Let me grab a quick call or two. I only have a minute or two left. Debbie in Chicago, thanks for joining us. Good afternoon.
Hi, Drew.
Hey, Deb.
Hi. So just real quick, my husband lost his at a gas station a couple and then he kept praying to St. Anthony, and it was a good couple weeks, and we had a van in our driveway that we weren't using, and somebody brought it to our house and threw it in the back of the van, and my son was, like, going through it, like, you know, a couple weeks later, and he's like, what's Dad's wallet doing in the back of the van? So who knows, you know?
Well, I'm asking the angels to deliver it. I like that suggestion about the holy souls, but, you know, we'll see. Yeah. I submit to God's holy will, whatever it is. But come on, angels, bring it home. Let me find it. It'll save me a lot of headaches. Hey, great being with you today. I look forward to being back with you tomorrow. Another all-star lineup. We got a lot to get into. Tomorrow, special day for me, and I'll tell you why. All right? Till next time, I'll be praying for you.